one, a bunch of monkeys rolling through space on a gigantic ball. This is all we are. I am blackpilled today. No hope. Nothing interesting in politics. Nothing interesting to talk about. Biology itself is becoming extremely disappointing. They have this trend. I'm sure if you've watched some recent biology videos, you've seen some of it, where they try to make it more loose than it really is. And that sucks so much. Like, sex is so complex. Ideas of gender have been emerging and evolving and changing. And it's always a constant change. I'm disgusted by this. This is not what's interesting. What's interesting is what's stable. Then, yeah, we don't want to deceive anyone about it being more stable than it truly is. But holy shit, can you shut the fuck up with your complex, complex, complex? Like, at this point, they say this of everything. Sex, chromosomes, genetic inheritance. And First Name Last Name was asking me to review this video. It's exactly in that trend with these complex, complex, and it's not so Mendelian, blah, blah, blah.
Hybrids, he first had to purify his pea plants to remove any intermediate variation. This wasn't easy and took him 2 years of artificial breeding to get purebred lines that maintain their color across generations. Unknowingly, Mendel was essentially fudging the Waddington landscape of the pea color genes to the very boring case of a marble going into the same bin every...
And so the classical biology is always boring. Oh, that was so boring. Now we know we can have half yellow peas and half green. What the fuck? There's this whole revisionist view of Mendel that's present in this video and that I started hearing about, and people are approaching me with it. So I just wanted to be clear and to answer First Name, Last Name. This is a revisionist interpretation of Mendel's contribution. Doesn't matter that Mendel purified his pea strands before making his experiments, because Mendel discovered, by doing so, the mechanism of meiosis before we even knew it was going on. Mendel, just from his purified strands of peas, doesn't matter that they were purified. Sometimes you need to purify something to be furthest away from the natural state of it, but so that you can conclude something about it. Sometimes you need to purify oxygen so you can make an experiment with purified oxygen. But no one in chemistry is coming back to say, Lavoisier had the purified sample of oxygen. Now today we know that oxygen is so much more complex, because oxygen is diluted in azote, in nitrogen, and it's going alongside CO2 in the normal air that we breathe. So Lavoisier had a biased view of oxygen when he was isolating it. No one says this in chemistry, but everyone wants to say this about biology, and it's the same thing. Mendel, by purifying his pea strands, was able to realize, wow, okay, so you get half a chance of getting those genes, half a chance of getting those genes, and those genes are dominant and those genes are recessive, and you need half a chance of this one, half a chance of... And by doing so, he was basically seeing what we would eventually understand as the mechanism of meiosis, the divisions of chromosome, the fact that we're diploid, we're diploid animals, but in his case it was diploid plants, the fact that we're diploids, the fact that our parents are producing haploid cells, the sperm and the egg, they combine into a diploid organism. All of this is what Mendel could basically see without giving names to them, because he saw them as mathematical patterns in the inheritance of peas. But ultimately, it all fits with the modern molecular image that we have of this process. That was the contribution of Mendel. And this fucking guy is Mendel didn't have those 75% yellow peas. He was missing the Waddonian landscape. Go fuck yourself. You're gay. You're gay. You're on a gay platform. You're spreading gay memes about biology. That's what it is. I can see it in your voice that you're gay. Shrink Mamel says, Jeff, I'm glad I didn't bring the woman from the Philippines to the US. She is very manipulative to the point I think she very well could be lying about being pregnant. Oh yeah, Shrink Mamel showed me some text of this girl. Perhaps I won't share the text directly, but there's a feature in those texts that makes no doubt she is a psychopath. She says, I still hang on to you. I still love you. I'm still addicted to you. That's just who I am. You know, I keep hanging on until it works. I will always be attached to you. I will always wait for you. And then she said, or maybe I'll stop thinking about you once I get a new boyfriend. Maybe getting a new boyfriend will help me disconnect from you, but I still love you. Now, when they switch from... First, it's inconsistent. It's a self-contradiction. I will always love you. I will always wait for you. And, oh, maybe if I get a girlfriend, I won't. If I get a boyfriend, I won't. So she's basically trying to spam you with everything that can get you hooked back. And it doesn't matter that it's inconsistent, that she contradicts herself from one sentence to the next. In the first sentence, she wants to say she's still attached because she wants to awaken this, oh, maybe I'm missing on a good girl here. And then on the second sentence, she wants to make you realize, hey, I'm going to get to a new guy very soon, so you better come back to me. It's absolute psychopathy. Fucking women out there are sick in the fucking head. Shrink Mamel, of course, is in a situation where, you know, there's a situation where you just need to fuck crazy. And I've been in those situations. Shrink Mamel is in a different situation. You know, he has money. We're talking about immigration. If he makes one of these women immigrate, they can take a lot of his money. They can marry quick, divorce, take his money and run. So in his case, I think it was a good decision to get rid of this fucking psychopath. just lost $500,000 in one day. My entire net worth, I've been grinding for years. A lot of bad actors out there. Be careful. Heartbroken. Yeah, probably were. I don't know. He didn't detail how he lost it, but I would guess. I would guess that he has. He has made a bet on a leverage bet on the markets. Well. If you are in the leverage domain, you will get wiped out at some point. So if you are into those high-risk bets that you multiply your wins, eventually you will multiply your losses to zero. John Drake says, it's all about an agenda, new guy. I watched the video before the show. I knew what was up as soon as I heard the guy speak. Yeah, they're always blurring all the concepts these days. Nick Fuentes, I agree with this analysis. He says, Elon's war with Brazil seems like it has much more to do with Washington's new Monroe Doctrine than it does with any principled stand on free speech. For some reason, there is so much interest in Argentina, Venezuela, Brazil, El Salvador by Musk, Tucker, the CIA, and DOD. Absolutely. I've never seen... In my lifetime, and we've been talking about how the U.S. has been interventionist with the South of America before, many decades ago, but they are totally reawakening this trend. I mean, I've never seen so much meddling. I've never seen such an artificial rise of sudden concern about Maduro and what was the Venezuelan election fair. What the fuck are you talking about? Who gives a shit? Now, they do give a shit because there's money to be made, I guess. They want the resources, whatever it is. There's this cloud. Elon Musk is so connected with an intelligence. It's almost unbelievable that he has acquired Twitter and unlocked so much free speech for us, because holy shit, is he in the system, this guy. There's something not, as we say in Quebec, there's something not Catholic about all of this. DK Shadow says, let's handle our elections first. Yes, let's get there. Aerofant says, JF, do you believe in any evidence for dragons? Yes, I believe in this evidence. Dragon. Animal picture. There's a dragon. That's the closest to a dragon you'll ever have in reality. Those are the only dragons that exist. The other dragons, those that you see in Lord of the Ring, they don't exist. James says, Jeff, have you seen the trend in YouTube biology the last few months of Dennis Noble videos? He is critiquing Dawkins' gene-centered view of biology. Do you have any thoughts on Dennis Noble? I would have to check. I think I know the name, Dennis Noble. I would have to check. Is he the guy who claims on mathematical impossibility or... genes are not the blueprint of life. I've been superficially aware of this guy. Genes are not the blueprint of life. How life works, a user's guide to the new biology. All of these trends that I've seen in the past, and I guess I would have to review his book in full, but all of these claims that Darwin is... we're done with Darwin or we're done with Richard Dawkins is so ridiculous. It's like they want to add a detail. They want to add a point of detail to the theory that's not even in contradiction with the theory. And they want to oversell it as, oh, this is the new biology, a new paradigm. And I've never seen any of these additions contest the basic paradigms. Most of these things are already addressed in Richard Dawkins. It's ridiculous because it's a bunch of people who, like, if you wanna contribute something really new, you have to do something like this, but they don't have this. They don't have an ID like the revolutionary phenotype. So they're kind of hanging on crumbles, and they're trying to inflate those crumbles into a revision of biology, but it's deceptive. It's deceptive because you're raising whole educations of new scientists or science-interested people into thinking that, oh, this is all old, this is too old, this is not good anymore. But it's still good. Darwin is unchallenged, Richard Dawkins is unchallenged, and Papa JF is unchallenged. Now, I will have to read, Dennis, if you tell me you want an in-depth look at it, I can read specifically his book. But all of these claims in the last decade that I've seen of revisions to evolution, it's all crap. It's all just addition. If you're making an addition, at least be honest about it. Because presenting an addition as a revolution is a big act of deception for the new generation, because suddenly they think that the old ideas aren't good anymore, and they start producing these YouTube videos that are deceptive, and that present exactly the view that we've seen in the other video. Oh, so not Mendelian, so complex. Dr. E. Michael Jones beat JF to the punch, says, you're says Dino Rogovich, but you're quoting an archive.org version of the book The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History. It's a book I've already reviewed, and I've invited Michael Jones on my show back in the days to talk about it. Gusparovsky says, hello, JF, my man. I have an idea for a show. It would be based on losers with no reach but good tweets. I could be like, send me your best tweets and I'll be reading them out loud and give me your take on it and give you my take on it. Well, whatever idea you have of a show you can try. I mean, I don't think that your idea has much sustainability to it. Because, okay, you might think you have an idea for one good show like this where tweets are interesting. Do you think there's an infinite amount of tweets out there that can be interesting for people? And, so your idea has a very limited time life, a shelf life to it. He says, I have no reach. You have, bro. Well, but I'm not going to implement your ID because your ID sucks. You can't attract people based on sourcing low-quality material that otherwise doesn't attract people. You attract people because you offer something better than others. So when I started YouTubing, I was very disappointed by what was out there. I saw that there was a trend towards secularist videos that were strawmanning. They were very loose philosophically. They were kind of sciencey, but not super strict. And I wanted to do more than this. And I've became a specialist of the kind that I do. And I mean, it took different forms across the years. Sometimes I was doing science videos, philosophy videos. Then I moved to the interview domain, and now I'm on a solo show. All of this attracts people to the extent that you can be a source of more compressed intelligence than other people that offer similar product. And let me tell you, the video and podcast space is absolutely spammed. Everything is being tried and everything has been tried. So a little idea like this will not elevate you in this scene. You need to have a resource that is infinite and that you're capable of continuously attracting people with it. Frog Eyes. Frog Eyes says, shout out to Cove Killer Clown. Covey Killer Clown, who appeared in the Martinez stream. He expressed being blackpilled about finding a woman and reproduction. Jeff, please communicate some words of encouragement because macro social political conditions are irrelevant. You have to pursue family building regardless. Yes, the black pill is definitely not a good idea. You're right. Basically, you have to ignore the world. You have to ignore the world. You have to know the world and you have to integrate the facts of the world. But only to the extent that it allows you to improve your strategy. Otherwise, you cannot let the world, the state of the world, the economy, your salary, all of this must not interfere with reproduction. The way I've been developing it, my thoughts on this across the years is I see everything as a surgeon coming to chop my balls. And, you know, agency, personify the enemy. So if I look at public schools and I see how they are raising children in the LGBT activism direction, I think that's a surgeon coming to chop my balls. You have to awaken inside of you this kind of physical reaction. They might as well be surgeons coming to chop your balls because they are coming to chop the consequences into the future of your balls, which is that you should have grandchildren. So see everything as such. Your employer is a surgeon coming to chop your balls because he doesn't give you a raise. Everyone is an enemy coming to chop your balls. If nature doesn't give you food or you don't find resources to survive, nature is a surgeon coming to chop your balls. And you need to basically defend against all of the attempts at chopping your balls. And this whole idea of depression and blackpilling about this, about the dating world, is another surgeon coming to chop your balls. Don't let it do it. Don't let them do it. And yeah, just search and continue to operate within reality, but also with the axiom. The axioms that comes inside of you that you must reproduce no matter the cost, no matter how much of a war it is out there. We have a shooting here. A black man comes to harass this woman. He punches her, shoots him. All right. Unbelievable, the conflicts, the pettiness of the conflicts that lead to the loss of life. Like, this is where you see we're really a bunch of monkeys on a ball. John Drake says, it isn't just the West that has major problems with reproduction. China is being heavily influenced by the LGBTQ agenda. The anti-reproduction forces are spreading. Yeah, but China is maintaining its demographics. So there may be an internal struggle. There is always a bunch of Chinese people who will fall for it and a bunch of Chinese people who will not fall for it. But nothing is contesting the demographic supremacy of the Chinese in China. We are in a very different situation. We are in a multi-pronged attack where, yes, slowing down for just one generation would be absolutely dramatic for white people right now. And it is dramatic. So that's the difference. If you don't have immigration, diversity, you know, and eventually affirmative action, if you don't have these things, whether there's a little bit of propaganda that seeps in doesn't really matter, especially if you're maxed out. China is in many ways maxed out by population. You know, they have a lot of people. That is where the propaganda may hurt at the individual level, but it won't change the fact that in 100 years from now, China is Chinese. In 100 years from now, I don't think that Canada is Canadian. Pay raises coming at Scotiabank. That is another trend that really sucks. They give these pay raises to women only. Which employees are receiving a compensation increase? All employees in jobs predominantly held by women, where a wage gap was found when compared to their male counterparts, will get a compensation increase. Which employees are not receiving a compensation increase? The Pay Equity Act does not require increases for jobs predominantly held by men or gender-neutral employees. Will men or non-binary employees also receive a compensation increase? Regardless of their gender identity, all employees in jobs predominantly held by women that have been identified as having a gap will be subject to the same increase in base salary. So you have a huge issue because they come with these gap measures on average. But on average, maybe the male janitor is deploying much more work than your female cashier. And maybe your female cashier isn't showing up, and so she loses salary. And maybe your female cashier ultimately is doing a job that is more easy on her, and the janitor is doing a job that she wouldn't want to do. And so you have a justification for these gaps to exist, but they take the average, and then they say, just drop some money onto the woman on average. They are totally destroying the market. And men's response should be to disengage from society. We should say, all right, build these skyscrapers with your cashier woman. let them do it. Let the woman be the engineers that make our submarines, our planes. And I'm not going to fly into planes anymore. I'm not going to be in a submarine. I'm withdrawing from society. I'll be making meme coins on my computer. Fuck off. Gusparovsky sends a super chat. He says, you kind of get me wrong. I would happily pay to rent someone else's reach to read one of my tweets out loud. Look at it like an Airbnb of the reach. X gave me none, zero response. While the guy tweeting about Indian dunk get full of it. Okay, you want to pay for your IDs to be put out there. But there's still a problem. Which is, either you will pay me a lot, and I'll do it, and your stuff is crap, and now I don't... Like, imagine I do this for 100 tweets. Okay, maybe I'll sell 100 tweets red. Now, no one wants to listen to the 10th least interesting. No one wants to listen to the 20th tweet in that sequence. So I end up with an audience of zero. Now, are you willing to pay for me to read your tweet to an audience of zero? Not sure. So I think that what you present is already integrated to the idea of super chats. But super chats work because they are not taking too much space, and ultimately to maintain a living super chat wage, you have to also offer a show that people are attracted to, and the super chats must be only a section of it. It must be a different section, or it must be a small number of super chats. But yeah, I think that super chats is exactly what you describe in the end. Super chats allow you to project to my audience your IDs. And in fact, it's even better. You force me to react to them. But I know what it is to have small Twitter accounts because I see people who are operating these small Twitter accounts. Let me tell you, there's a grandfather effect on X where if you've been like me since 2010, you have a big advantage. If I start an account tomorrow and try to become an e-celeb on X, I can't. I don't know how I would do it. All of the small accounts, they are stuck, zero growth, zero response, zero replies, zero views. I can't believe that that there's not an openness in the way they program X to be specifically inclusive so that we can refresh the blood, because X will become boring. Inevitably, it doesn't matter how much time it takes. If you have too much of a grandfather effect, X will become absolutely boring. So I warned Elon Musk about this. He has not responded to my tweet. It sucks to be at the bottom of X. And no matter how much work you put into your single tweet and how good it could be, zero impression. That's zero, zero, zero. And you can't even get started. You can't even get a repost that builds into more exposure. You get nothing. And yet, accounts like mine, they have somehow trained the algorithm, and it's like we keep doing it every day so that the algorithm never really explores new things. John Drake says, start a small account on Nostr, dude. You could be big in 10 years if you have something interesting to say, that is. I don't know about Nostr, bro. It's ugly. Blood and Biden sends $25. Thank you so much for the generous donation. He says, who gives the best relationship advice, you or Lauren Sutton? Lauren Sutton is terrible. Lauren Sutton is a confused female who has race mixed and paired with an intelligence agent from Australia and has made terrible, terrible partner choices. And from the evidence that she presents herself, although she won't say this explicitly, I have personally concluded that Lauren Sutton is a crazy, annoying wife. Because she will tell you, he locked me outside of the house as I was crying under the rain. Let me tell you, have been on the other side of this kind of situation. When a man decides to lock you outside of the house, you are a fucking psychiatric case. Like, no man wants to lock a beautiful woman outside of his house. If I get Lauren Sutton, on birth pill or not, I don't care. I want her pussy as close to me as I can. There is no situation in which I lock Lauren Sutton out of the house under the rain if she isn't physically abusing me and verbally abusing me. So for a guy in Australia to have reached that point where he has to physically protect himself and put locks on the doors and keep her out, she must be fucking insane. Because there's the insane beauty curve. She is very beautiful. So she needs a high level of insanity before you get rid of her. And yet he made the computation and poof, he got rid of her. Do you imagine the level of abuse she has to expose you to before you abandon Lauren Sutton? DK Shadow says, yep, she could get almost any man she wants, but must be some real deal breakers with her. Yeah, and given that she is like maybe a 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10, yeah, she could have had men of quality, no doubt, but she always does the same thing. She does this in her professional life too. She's attracted to trouble. You can see it. She pursues trouble. Oh, you know, I'm a right-wing thinker. Let's hire these two gay trolls, far-leftist gay trolls, to be my videographers. And let's surround myself with all of the attention-seeking right that has no moral pillars. And let's ignore people like JF. Like, you put yourself in trouble. You like trouble. And women who like trouble like this, they are dangerous in the personal sphere. And so what you're going to end up... First, there is not a single woman. There is not a single woman in the world that is better at me to counsel men in the dating domain. Because the problem is women don't counsel. They don't adopt the perspective of the male. Women adopt the perspective of the woman. That's the only perspective they know of. So when you get counseling in the dating sphere from a woman, what you get is her superficial social display layer spouting you how you should look towards society to fit the female-determined matriarchal standard of desirability, which is basically synonymous to she is cucking you. She is chopping your balls. She will make you less alpha, less determined. She will try to cut anything that goes out of the ordinary and out of the box, and she will ultimately transform you into a beta. Now, she's gonna do this, and then she's not going to be interested in what you become. It's like, all women will tell you to be a beta, but not a single one of these women will want to have sex with you. So what is this counseling that they're doing? They're trying to de-testosterone you so that you fit an arbitrary, out there standard of society wants this. But at the same time, their pussy talks. Their pussy is not interested in you. Their pussy doesn't get wet when you become that way. So never listen to a single female ever on anything, really. Gusparovsky says, I am a fresh tech digger. That's why I'm listening to JFG tonight. It's getting to find some. They are everywhere. Okay, I don't understand the structure of your sentence. Maybe you can rephrase it. I appreciate, but I'm not sure what you mean. DK Shadow says, it's a subconscious shit test. John Drake says, I would never spend time pursuing a 30-something woman. She will be 40 and barren before you know it. I wouldn't say that it's out of the question. First, if you go for a younger woman, the younger woman have time on their hand, and they will use that leverage against you. So you have to be extremely careful. It's a lot of investment on a woman that can drop you at any time if you go for a 22, 25, 27-year-old. When you're dealing with women above 30, there's something that I highly appreciate with women above 30 is you can negotiate the terms of the insemination very quick. They are pressed up against time, and that fits well with my autism. Like, I personally like to know that she is willing to get inseminated the hour we meet. And a 25-year-old will never give you this. So first, with my autism, 30 years old, who know where they're headed, who know they want babies, that is just perfect for me. But yes, there's a disadvantage where you won't have a numerous family of 10, but do you think the 25-year-old is going to give you a family of 10? In principle, she can, but in the modern times, it's basically not going to happen. Turkey has applied to join BRICS. Turkey has formally requested to join the BRICS group, joining Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, along with other nations, in a new economic pact. That is fascinating, because it's kind of a knife in the back of NATO. NATO is the military alliance, and normally, I mean, Turkey is the first. It's the first NATO country that will be with the developed countries in its military alliance, but will be with the underdeveloped countries in its economic alliance. I think it's great. Turkey is this dirty player that always plays both sides. You can see them being friendly with Putin, friendly with Israel, friendly with Europe, friendly with Africa. They're all over the place. And of course, Turkey is this empire of the middle. It's not surprising. That's what they do. The empire of the middle is always negotiating between the two sides and sometimes fomenting war between the two sides, sometimes fomenting peace. I think it's very interesting that we will have this case of a country that has its interest at the military and economic level split out. And in a way, it's the consequence of this ever extension of NATO. You know, the American Empire and Europe, which I consider part of the American Empire, they've been constantly wanting to extend the olive branch, grow. You know, the European Union discussing, oh, do we include these third world countries also in the European Union? And the more you extend, the more you dilute yourself down to countries that have different interests from yours. And to have Turkey play the BRICS side, I think, is a very good sign for a diversification, a dilution of American power. I think it's going to be great. Kraft9 says, JF, I just turned 49 this year, single, no kids. Is it time to throw in the towel on the prospect of having a family? I would keep eyes opened. What I would do if I were you, I would aim for a 34, 35-year-old with the hope of one or two children. I don't think it's out of the bargain for you at all. Depends on how you feel about your state of desirability. Do you have something about you that is interesting for a woman? Or are you a total loser with zero money, zero house? It all depends. But even if you were a total loser, there's a bunch of fucking sick 35-year-old out there with borderline personality disorder. They are fucking hell to live with. They will see ghosts coming out of your walls, but they are impregnable, and their condition makes them available. And, you know, at 49, you can totally pick up a 35-year-old woman who immediately wants a baby. Because these 35-year-old women, it's like, If you just have one thing about you, like, do you play saxophone or whatever? It doesn't matter that you have zero assets, no house. If you play saxophone, or I don't know, you smoke the same kind of cigarette that she smokes, she's gonna want to be intimidated immediately. So go for it. But you have to do it intently. You know, you have to focus, know their age. Swingit says, who wants a 35-year-old roasty anyway? Yeah, so they are in a category that is lower desirability, so that's where your game comes in. Dave Smith says something that I agree with. He says, in 2016, when the accusations of Trump being involved in a conspiracy with the Russians first began, I remember being blown away by how stupid it all was. I mean, there are a million things you could say about Trump, but he obviously wasn't a Russian agent. What could be dumber than that? I'll tell you what is dumber. The accusation that Chuck Schumer is a Hamas agent. Yes, this Jewish, lifelong Zionist senator is a secret Hamas agent. If Trump actually loses to Kamala fucking Harris, there will be lots of people to blame, but none more than Trump himself. Absolutely correct. And I see a kind of alliance birthing against Trump. It's too ridiculous. It's nonsense. Everyone knows it's nonsense to call Chuck Schumer a Hamas agent. So if everyone knows that it's not true factually, then what is it? Well, it's Trump trying so hard to suck Jew dick that he goes into the infinitely absurd stance. So he wants to show how much he kneels, and he's like, oh yeah, look at how ready I am to suck Jewish dick. Chuck Schumer is a Hamas agent. No one believes this. Trump is ridiculing himself, and as Nick Fuentes concluded on a stream recently, if the Republicans get away with this and get a victory, it's the end of the right wing forever in America. There is no coming back from it. If the Republican gets a signal from the American people that this is all you have to offer, that they will settle their vote for this crap, you're never going to get a political program for you ever again. Because Trump is trying to get away with something that should be scandalous. He should be at 20% in the ratings right now, and he's not. He's competitive. So I am more determined than ever to believe that a Kamala Harris presidency is what we need. First, let's give this to the left. You know how obsessed they are about black woman. Oh, we're going to have a black woman at the head of the country. Let's see how it goes. Let's give them that. Give them that, and it's the worse she is, the harshest the punishment will be for these conservatives that have put together the worst platform of the Republican Party we've ever seen. New guy says, no, it never works out for you, only for them, commenting to new guy who was saying, lol, and what does voting Kamala gets you? It gets you the punishment of the Republicans. It gets you a note in American history that echoes forever, that says, don't fuck with white people, don't fuck with the majority of your voter base, give them something. It's not like we were asking for everything, we were asking for something, and we can't even get that because Trump is too busy sucking Jewish dick. There must be some punishment. Getting down on your knees for a single mom. Here we have, when you're a single mom, so before he asks you to marry him, he asks for your little boy's permission first. I've waited. Not this fucking music editing. So what do we have here? Butterflies, tattoos. And I'd wait. Okay, woman, good looking on the face and hair, a little fat. Anymore, Yeah, I mean, it's okay to go for a single mom. It depends on your situation. Do you have bargaining power or do you not? I don't know. Is she still reproductive? Something tells me she may be 38, 40. So, I mean, but even then, you can think, well, this guy may be bound to be single forever, may not reproduce at all. Perhaps he wants the comfort of knowing that he has raised some children. Personally, I'm too mathematical for this. I couldn't go in a relationship if there was not some hope of baby making. I wouldn't do it because to me, I would look at these children and I'd be like, okay, they can provide you the comfort and the delusion of being a father. But in the end, your fatherhood will be a cucked fatherhood. So there must be potential baby making here. And I'm not sure there's potential baby making. She is beautiful, but she looks like this beautiful old woman. If she's 35 or less, that's fine. He has some potential in her. James says, don't fuck with us, cut your balls, a lot of Fight Club quotes today. Is this from Fight Club? I didn't even realize. Jackie Chun sends $10. Thank you so much, you guys, for the generous support today. I was looking at, because I get paid every first of the month. I was looking at my pay. It's still viable. I called the farmer that I live close to, and I said, I'm going to buy 50 pounds of meat today. And so we're going to have a huge reserve of meat, of ground beef that is, raised on grass and very high quality meat, perfect for baby making, healthy sperm, healthy eggs. Jackie Chun says, hey, JF, it seems over the next 100 years, we face the choice of going north into the cold and staying individualist and high trust or becoming the new Jews and becoming low trust. Is there no third option? If we stay in the cold, this whole civilizational cycle will happen all over again. I personally don't think that there is that there is any other option. I believe the cold will push back the wave of migrations, wherever that cold is strong enough to push it back. And so white existence will be in very, very northern regions. Otherwise, you're going to have some continuation of the white genetic lines, but it will be diluted in brown space, brown genetic space and black genetic space. And it won't be long before full genocide is completed because you don't need 95% black population for the life of the remaining whites to become extremely uncomfortable. You really need 40% for it to start being unviable, unlivable. And so when these areas grow into 40% concentration of minorities, 50, whites are going to either die in place or they will move. It's as simple as this, because basically I keep being impressed when I see these videos of black people just punching random Asians and just shooting random whites on the streets. I'm like, this is extremely fine behavior. Like civilizationally, they are organizing a genocide without even the apparent intent. It looks random. It feels random, and it feels like an ant colony taking over another ant colony, and none of the ants have in their brain the whole plan, but somehow the colony does it. So when you look at these ants, they have brains that are microscopic, less than a millimeter wide. There's no place in there for a vast plan of, oh yeah, we're going to take the other colony down. We're going to kill them one by one. Here, take this worker. I'm going to take this work. No, they just commit genocide like this, the ants. And that's what the blacks are currently doing, you know, with all these rape, murder stories that we see on the everyday pop out on the timeline. The white genocide is very much ongoing. And the consequence of this is life becoming absolutely unviable. We've described it with frame games back in the days of the video What's to Come. And we've looked at countries. Countries don't remain 70% black long for a long time. The switch from 70% to 100% happens like this. Because no one wants to be the 30% white surrounded by 70% black. So once you reach this point of no return, it goes from 40, basically, from 40 to 100% within 20 years. Because within your lifetime, you can't sustain this level of violence. And when you see these kids getting harassed in public school, in forced diversity, you see these black people just kicking people down, kicking people on their head. I've been retweeting a video, a white guy being killed basically by foot kicks to the head. You realize that we are basically in a war between two colonies. And it's a genocidal war. And it really doesn't matter whether if you ask the person, did you want to eliminate white people? He may not be able to say it, but that's what's happening. The bird flu says Rwanda, JF. Yeah, I mean, we've presented Rwanda, we've presented Haiti. I didn't even know that there used to be a significant white portion of the population on Haiti. And basically what Haiti has seen is a white genocide. Whites were eventually killed or fled. It's what happens everywhere. So the only thing that will be on our side is the cold, and it's the unviability of the environment for homeless people. And that you get this in Canada and, you know, and higher. King Anus says the group approves of the brutality and they all join in. Exactly. But we are stuck in this legal, bizarre legal place where they're absolutely looking for white people to put in jail. And so it's like, oh, he had a tattoo and he killed a black person. That's a neo-Nazi. And yet the standard is completely reverted when it comes to black on white violence. It's like you would need to have the black person have a whole plan of the murder and yeah, we're going to genocide whites. And so there's a disbalance in the concept of hatred, of hate crime, that is absolutely to the disadvantage of white people. Defenestrator says, Jeff, do you think chronic fatigue syndrome is real or just something like vitamin B12 deficiency or mental illness since women mostly get it? I don't know that the categories you make are even exclusive. Like, you talk of, is it just mental illness? Or is it vitamin B12 deficiency? Well, there are some mental illness that are purely caused by deficiencies in nutrition. So, I don't think there is a contradiction between things being real or things being a mental illness or even people being just lazy. Like, because Rodi Lissid says, or maybe they're just lazy. What if you had a disease? What if I take a laser and I shoot it into your cranium and I make a hole that's 1 millimeter wide in your brain, but it's exactly at the right place such that you become an extremely lazy person. Is it that you're lazy now, or is it that I fucked up your brain? It's both, and there's no distinction between mental, physical. Everything is physical, and mental is an important aspect of our functioning. That is, that happens to be fully implemented in the physics of our brain. So generally, you're going to find for any disorder reported, for anything that ends up being classified by medical science or psychiatry, you're going to find mental correlates of it, mental descriptions of it. There's going to be physical causes in the brain too for this, and there may be nutritional deficiencies to repair if you want to really fix it. So, I believe chronic fatigue syndrome is something. Now, maybe it's not what we think. I don't know that we even have a theory of chronic fatigue syndrome. I think it's something that we deal as a report. It's people experience this. I do believe that they do experience this. Now, do you have chronic fatigue syndrome in a society where you dry meat on ropes in the forest and all women are constantly inseminated? I don't know. Maybe there's something in the modern world that causes this, but we haven't identified it. I consider that 50% of the mental disorders out there is just women not being pregnant. I've seen for myself the great stabilization effect of pregnancy on the female behavior. Swing It sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I can save 80 to 70% of my salary every month, but I don't know what to do with the savings right now. Normie bank saving accounts don't even cover inflation, but DCA into BTC right now might not be the best moment either. What do you recommend? Well, you can make a bet that Bitcoin will have a further rise in 2025 or at the end of 2024. Personally, I don't think it would be a very bad decision to put it in BTC. If you know that you're able to anyways keep it for 3-4 years, there's certainly going to be another bull run. If it's not now, it's going to be at some point. So I would be confident to put much of this into Bitcoin. You could put it in ETH, and what you could do is swap it to USDT on the blockchain without dealing with an exchange. Swap it on the blockchain whenever Bitcoin rises to 110K. So then you're ready to absorb the falling price. Let's say you wait up to the... You buy ETH with it right now. You wait to December 2024. You look at the politics. You look at... Is it looking like we're headed toward money printing by the Fed? If so, 2025 might be the massive year for crypto. So you keep your ETH until you feel that we've reached a peak. Swap it to USDT. Don't be too greedy. Swap it to USDT and keep it as a savings in USDT. And then buy Bitcoin again or ETH again in 2-3 years from now when we are at the bottom. So personally, that's what I would do. You do whatever you want. That would be what I do. Because on the ETH blockchain, you have readily... The capacity to readily switch between ETH and USDT. So you can do it on Uniswap for a very low exchange price, and you're going to be perfectly placed to instantly convert when you find that the peak may be reached. I wouldn't be too greedy, because if we reach 110K, you'll see the temptation that, oh, it's going to get to 200K. No, don't be too greedy. Take your profit in, relax. You're going to have USDT on the side that if you have emergency need, you can always sell the USDT instantly on crypto.com or that kind of stuff. So that money stays around, and it stays around in a way that it can save your ass if you need a little bit of it. And then you keep it to go full to go full into Bitcoin or ETH at the next bottom, maybe in 2 or 3 years from now. Dr. Disrespect says he is back from vacation, relaxing in the Lambo with the windows down, back from la vacation. Okay, so Dr. Disrespect would be back on the internet. A man was killed at Lakeside Party in Spotsylvania County when he tried to break up a fight. Absolutely bad idea. See, this is where I say the lack of fitness of peaceful white liberal men for the new environment they live in is staggering. These poor liberal men, they are raised on memes, my friend. It's like, oh yeah, you can't necessarily judge this particular pair of black people fighting. They may not have a gun on them. Or if they do have a gun and they're willing to put it out, maybe it's because of their education or the socioeconomic factors. And so he goes trying to break up a fight and he ends up dying from it. Violent people will not let you impose your nonviolence to them. So you should run. You should not be there. There's so much whites that are just unprepared for zombie apocalypse. And they have to die. They will have to die. That is evolution in action. It's happening right now. Biden is checked out, says Trump.
5 months with people like her and him. He's checked out. He just goes to the beach and thinks he looks good in a bathing suit, which he doesn't.
I found that the interview with Lex Fridman, it's very cheap. You know, they're trying. This I've heard on an Eric Weinstein interview recently, and Lex Fridman is trying to touch on this, whether Kamala is a communist. And it really doesn't matter. We all know the current situation of the US. You can call it progressive communism, you can call it half communism. It really doesn't matter. We all know that the state is growing and that it's a problem. And everyone is part of it, Kamala and Trump included.
A lot of people listening to this, myself included, that doesn't think that Kamala is a communist.
Well, she's a Marxist.
Her father's a Marxist.
That's right.
And she's advocating.
It's a little unusual. Yeah.
She's advocating for some policies that are towards the direction of democratic socialism, let's say. But there's a lot of people.
So it's distinctions that are meaningless. Oh, she's not a communist. Okay. But her father is a Marxist and she pushes for democratic socialist idea. But what is democratic socialism? It's Marxism. And what's Marxism? What's the goal of Marxism? It's to get to communism. So really, the labels don't matter. And this is being asked by Lex Fridman as some kind of question that the people want to know. The people disagree with your characterization, Donald Trump. But this is not the state of discussion that we had in 2016. So much more pertinent questions to ask from Trump about Zionism, about Jews, about the degree to which he sold out. This is not a tough question. It's a meaningless question. But that's what we get with this whole system that makes it look like real questions are being asked, that makes it look like, oh, we're bringing you questions from the people. It's all affaired into meaningless labels, circular thinking, and unproductive questions. Rodilacid says the end goal is always communism, even if they don't realize it. Socialism is just a stepping stone on the way. That's how a lot of the explicit communists think. And they don't care if you don't know it as a centrist. From their perspective, the centrist is a tool to get to that point. John Drake says 53% of the US population is on welfare of some kind. Is this really a detriment in 2024 America? Well, it's definitely a dysgenic direction. You are taking what would be a tough world in which the good reproduce, and you're saying everyone can reproduce now. You're going to have infinite food. If you put yourself in need, we will respond to that need by giving you everything you need. So that's exactly the kind of mentality that leads to a dysgenic direction evolutionarily. Yale divinity student forced to read from a witch's spell at orientation. The Yale Divinity School coerced a student to read from a spell written by a witch as part of its before the fall's orientation. Adrienne Brown, a mixed-race, black, queer, American writer, community organizer, facilitator, witch, and may I say goddess. Okay, I've had enough from this description. I think I know what it looks like. And the French police has caught the guy who burned a church in France, in Pas-de-Calais. The 39-year-old has been convicted 25 times, including 8 times for church arsons. He once got 3 years and set fire to a church on the day of release. He posts on social media about anti-racism and Islam. So definitely, again, we are in this slow genocide. It doesn't matter if he's not sponsored. It doesn't matter if he's not institutionalized. The system behaves as if it wants Islam to conquer Europe. And effectively, that's what's happening. So you have here a Muslim who is burning churches in France, and somehow the French system acts in every way like they want him to continue doing this. Like, if you get out 3 years of imprisonment and your first action is to burn a church, you should be sent back to prison for 60 years. Because it's like, okay, well, at what rhythm are you willing to let your churches burn? I say every 60 years is fine, but every 3 years is not fine. But this guy, every time he's released, that's what he's going to do. We have an interesting look from a woman. Karlyn Borychenko. I have seen that Karlyn Borychenko, I don't know much about her. I know that Nick Fuentes is fantasizing about her. One of the audience of Nick had sent a super chat that was saying, I would like to see Karlyn Borychenko in Thai only. And Nick Fuentes had reacted by saying, ha ha. So that's all I know about her. She is the subject of sexual desire by Nick Fuentes, which reassures me a little bit. You know, I do want Nick to reproduce. She read the Nashville Shooter Manifesto. Audrey Hall, you will remember Audrey Hall, this trans female to male, went on a shooting in a Christian school. They kept the manifesto hidden for so many years. And she looked at some parts that are interesting here. Why does my brain not work right? 'Cause I was born wrong. And here, fascinatingly, with picture illustration, she says, I can't butt sex a beautiful young brown girl with a big ass and small asshole. If I had a penis, it would be big and rock hard. Too bad I am a sad boy born with a vagina. A boy born with a vagina, i.e. a woman. And so, I mean, I was shocked by it. She had the desire of having a penis so she can have sex with a brown woman with a big ass. I mean, can you imagine this is your dream? I mean, your dream is to have sex. You've been so penetrated by mimetic liberal culture that your dream is to have sex with a brown woman with a big ass. When that's your dream, it's going bad. Corvin Carlson says, in the ass, no less. Yes. Yes, it's like the layers of confusion here. So you don't have a penis, but you want a penis so you can have basically gay sex with a woman. You want her to be brown so she has a big ass. Mark Braman, I believe, is correct in his prediction. He says, I'm making my presidential prediction with full acknowledgement that I have as little insight into this matter as everyone else. Kamala will win. Trump actually seems as astroturfed as her at this point. Everything that might account for his 2016 rise gone. I agree. And I hope that that is the case, because if Trump wins with such a weak campaign, it will be such a bad signal for the future. I think we may never have interesting politics ever again. It's over. So yes, we need to at least enjoy a Kamala win to see the Zionist side defeated, and to the point where future politicians think twice before being as Zionist as Trump. John Drake says, Trump is still ahead. I've seen those predictions, but I don't believe them. I believe that there's nothing like the Democrat machine for churning in votes. And I think it's still going to be a weakness of Trump. On top of it, I see the dynamics of culture. Really, there's a lot of people turning against Trump. And I think that ultimately the elite has settled. They've got a Trump that's Zionist enough. They've got a Kamala that has pledged allegiance to Israel. The elite has settled that no matter who wins, they win. So I don't think we can have a win in this election, a true political win. So we are left with the crumbles, and the crumbles are to frame Trump into the Zionist that he so dreams of being, and to say that will be your downfall. John Drake says, conservatives are signing up way more people than the Dems. This is a very important metric. I'm willing to see a change and a new dynamism of the Republican machine, but you know, this country is headed toward leftism, and people were saying like 10 years ago that it may be the last Republican president ever. So never forget that we are in this ever-falling slope. In a slope, it's hard to push back counter-current. Brazilian senators are scheduling an impeachment for De Moraes today. So I don't know if this has happened or it will happen, but there is talk of impeaching the Supreme Court justice that is giving trouble to Elon Musk. We'll see. Is Elon Musk waging enough power in the South of America to convince politicians to kick this guy out? I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I think that the... based on what I've reviewed and what I published as being the plan of some people in the intelligence community, I believe that the whole discourse that freedom of speech is at risk under Kamala is what some people at least wants to see. So they want this fight to continue and to be won by Elon Musk. They want Elon Musk to be on the winning side, on the side that was historically right. Steve Doug says he is now. So that would be, you would have been impeached. Is that correct? Let's see. Moraes latest news. Well, now the latest news is in Spanish. Or whatever. Portuguese. Fuck me. Bombshella. Bombshella. Can you tell me what the bombshell is in English? De Moraes indicted. Let's type it in English to see if we get something. Yeah, I don't see news in English of it yet. New guy says, lol, welcome to 2024. Well, fuck me.